Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and it's not just Friday, but Follow-Up Friday, where we dig a little deeper into some of the stories that came up during the week. We'll start with cleaning up a little rhetorical miscue. Yesterday on the show, we had Congressman Anthony Weiner on the program discussing the latest health care proposal, which looks to expand Medicare significantly. Congressman Weiner supports the idea as he sees it as a path to single payer. Take a listen.
We're not trying to contort ourselves to have this private model that is really not doing a very good job, and seeing if we can jerry-rig that. It returns to something that many of us believe in, which is the success the federal government has had in providing insurance for those that don't have it.
So you probably focused on Weiner's argument there, but something in that phrasing caught our ear. Here it is again.
It's really not doing a very good job, and seeing if we can jerry-rig that.
There it is, jerry-rig. We perked up when we heard it and wondered why it is that some people say jury-rigged and some folks say jerry-rigged, and just where that phrase comes from in the first place. So there's no better person to help with this than Aaron McKean of WordNick.com, also a former editor-in-chief of the Oxford American Dictionary. You may remember her from a series on words we did earlier in the year. Hi, Aaron.
Hey.
So not to pick on Anthony Weiner, we're just using this as a chance to find out about the etymology of this phrase. So which is right, jury-rig or jerry-rig?
Well, jerry-rig is older. And so jerry-rig's been around for quite some time. Jerry-rig is really only started making it into dictionaries in the late 1950s. But if you want to talk which is right, you understood what he was saying, all right, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. So by that standard, either one is right if it's clear communication. I heard that it was originally a nautical term. Is that right?
Yes, from a jury mast, which is kind of a temporary mast you put up when unfortunate circumstances have destroyed your real mast.
Uh-huh, a jury mast. So that's generalized now to jury rigging anything. And how about Jerry? Who's Jerry?
Nobody really knows who Jerry is. There are some folk etymologies saying that it comes from fighting the Germans in various wars. But we think that there might be some confusion with the term jerry-built, which describes anything that was thrown up in a hurry with not so good materials.
Yeah, so there it is, jerry-built, which may have come from jury-rig in the sailing sense. It has nothing to do with rigging a legal jury.
No, the 12 guys in a box don't have anything to do with this term.
Trying to sway the 12 angry men in your favor. And the word gerrymander to refer to political districts.
That's a completely different Jerry. That's Eldridge Jerry, who was the governor at the time.
Well, I think we've cleared up jury-rigged and jerry-rigged and maybe a little gerrymandering along the way. Aaron McKean, thanks so much.
You're very welcome.
And more Follow-Up Friday on a segment we did Tuesday about the new Afghanistan strategy. In fact, it's a follow-up to a picture that appeared on our website that day. As you know, each day we post the segments that we'll be doing online, and we chose a picture to go with that day's show. We find these pictures online often through Flickr's bank of Creative Commons licensed images, so don't worry, they're not copyrighted and we're not stealing them. But on Tuesday, we featured a picture to go with our Afghanistan segment of a U.S. Army captain. And later that day, we got a call from James Hanlon of San Francisco, who told us, "Hey, that's my son on your webpage." It turns out we had selected an image from the Department of Defense's website of Captain Max Hanlon, commander of Charlie Company, 1st Battalion, 17th Infantry Regiment. And joining us for just a couple of minutes is James Hanson, Hanlon, Max's father. James, welcome to WNYC. Thank you so much for getting in touch with us.
Good morning, Brian. And Richard Hanlon is my name.
Sorry, Richard.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, of course. You're Richard Hanlon.
I'm Richard. I'm Richard. My son is Max.
And thank you for your son's service.
Thank you. I'll pass that on.
And go ahead. You were going to tell us how you discovered that we had used the picture?
Well, I put into Google, his lovely wife was on NPR a week ago. Georgie is her name.
Really, that's a coincidence.
Well, she's a talker, and we enjoy her very much, and so I put in Google my kid's name, and lo and behold, your program came up with his picture, and so I called in. I was curious how you got the picture. Did the Department of Defense send it to you, or do you found it, and you answered that question.
What a coincidence it is, because we didn't get it from anything having to do with NPR. It was just a picture that we thought looked like a good representation of a soldier on the Defense Department's Flickr pool. And then it turns out that his wife was on NPR earlier in the week.
There you go. Maybe because he was looking right at the camera. I think maybe that's what caught it. He has a mouthful of teeth there that I've spent a lot of money on. That was a good investment. So
is that fixing the cavities or whitening? Never mind. So he's over there now. Where exactly is Max located?
There's a big base. It's called Kandahar. It's Kandahar. It's RC South. It's called, and he's above there, a little bit above there, in the Argandab River Valley, which economically is very important to Afghanistan, and it's their agricultural region, and it has in there the Dala Dam, which is the central economic feature, I think, of all Afghanistan. And the Canadians are pouring a lot of money into it, and so he took over a company that had lost 12 fellas, and they were in shock and decimated, and so they brought him. He replaced the company commander, and this is about 2 weeks ago. And so he calls me. May I hear from him every 3 days? And he tells me what's going on, and to the degree that he can, and we discuss things and ask my advice, which is very flattering to an old man. So,
were you in the military?
I was in peacetime. I was in the Marine Corps in peacetime. I was in Vietnam as a merchant seaman, but that was the limit of any military stuff that I did. So
his wife, Georgie, in that NPR piece, what did she talk about?
Well, about what it's like to be the wife of a deployed soldier and the problems that they have. Fortunately, she lives in this. I'm in San Francisco, and she's here in San Francisco with our grandson, which is fun. But the reaction, San Francisco, it would be easy if you didn't leave San Francisco to not even know we're at war. And I think that was the thrust of what she was talking about. And she has friends that she grew up with in these pricey private schools, and she sees them and the war never comes under discussion, and it's as if it's not more of our fabric. When you fly east, you start to see the more soldiers at the airports, but in San Francisco, it's a rare sight to see a soldier.
Not many people from the pricey private schools anywhere wind up going into the military. What was your reaction as the father of someone serving in Afghanistan to the president's surge address last week?
I'm glad there are more people going over. I mean, I think that's what the Canadians tried to secure the Argandab, and they just didn't have enough people. And I'm glad the soldiers are going into Kandahar, and they'll backfill where my son's unit is. He'll move forward, and the new units will backfill into the bases that they have, the secure bases. And I'm glad for them. That's my reaction. I'm glad there are more soldiers going on.
Go ahead.
But I have every question that any other citizen would ask about the total thing. But my window now is through my boy and how his mission is going and how he feels about it and how his soldiers feel about it. I'm always worried about cynicism creeping in, but there doesn't seem to be that.
There's skepticism among people who think that the war is not winnable in a meaningful sense, and that the Taliban can the Al-Qaeda, which is what we care about, can go to Somalia, they can go to Yemen, whatever, while, you know, a lot of our guys get killed over there in Afghanistan.
Well, that's it's a valid argument, and I might even take that stance myself if I wasn't the father of an infantry company commander.
Right.
And so I see it another way. My son asked me, well, what do I tell the soldiers if they say, well, why are we here? And my son very sincerely says, we can help these people. We have an opportunity because the Argandab is so important that if they can secure that and get the irrigation going back to once it was the Dalla Dam was we built in the 50s, the Eisenhower administration built in the 50s, is a very productive area. And at one point it produced enough wheat to feed all of Afghanistan. So my son and I think his soldiers see this as an opportunity to help the Afghanistan people, especially in this province.
Right.
And they see it in that light.
Great, generous way to look at it. Richard Hanlon is the father of Max Hanlon, whose photo was on our site the other day on Tuesday when we talked about Afghanistan. By the way, there's a lot of Defense Department photos of Max. I guess it's that grin you were talking about leaves him particularly telegenic. So thanks again to you for coming on and for your son for his service.
Oh, I appreciate that. And it was nice talking with you.